At the top of our program, we'll forgive you if you're confused about marijuana. In Michigan, for years, almost everyone has struggled to keep up with its shifting legal status. And here in 2015, the landscape continues to evolve. At the state capitol, legislators are discussing measures to better regulate medical marijuana, as well as likely proposals that would legalize it. Meanwhile, more than one group of reformers has launched signature-gathering campaigns pursuing ballot proposals aimed at legalization and other reforms. MLive State Capitol reporter Jonathan Osting has been following the developments and joins us now to cut through the haze. Hi, Jonathan. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Before we get to the several ballot efforts involving marijuana, let's clarify what's happening in the legislature. You reported again this week on the measure sponsored by Republican State Rep. Mike Calton of Berry County. It would establish marijuana provisioning centers. Tell us more about this proposal and where it stands.
First of all, marijuana provisioning center is a fancy word for medical marijuana dispensary. Dispensaries, of course, do still sort of exist in some parts of Michigan, but they exist in a real legal gray area. The medical marijuana law, as approved by voters, didn't actually mention the idea of dispensaries, which are sort of storefronts where patients can go to get their medication, as it were. So these started to pop up. The Supreme Court in 2013 actually ruled that they could be shut down as a public nuisance by county prosecutors, but it's been sort of a patchwork of enforcement across the state. Some areas have chosen to aggressively go after and shut down dispensaries. Some have not. So in Lansing, for instance, there are a couple dispensaries right now that are essentially operating at the leisure of local law enforcement officials. Now, this bill in the state legislature would try and essentially make them legitimate. It would set a lot of rules, though, for where they could be located. You know, they couldn't be by a school, for instance. It would set rules for who could work in these establishments. So sort of take it, out of this legal gray area and really provide a framework for dispensary sales to patients, which would probably increase access is the main argument for it.
And it also would include, according to your article, it would include product testing, packaging rules, signage restrictions, and restrictions on felon participation in the trade. I loved Representative Calton's quote here. It's got to be one of the more memorable quotes involving marijuana here. What other medicine does a doctor prescribe and then tell you to grow yourself? Which is... has a way of staying with you.
Yeah, exactly. He said that sort of in the context of suggesting maybe marijuana should be sold more like in a pharmacy setting.
Right.
Now, that's not really allowed because marijuana is still illegal at the federal level, so pharmacies can't actually deal with it. The state legislature did a year or two ago pass a bill to allow sort of a pharmacy system if the federal government does ever legalize marijuana. But for now, that's just sort of existing in the background.
You also write that Mr. Calton's proposal, which has supporters and opponents, would create a multi-tiered system similar to the model used to sell beer and wine in Michigan. What kind of responses is Calton's proposal getting here? What are supporters saying? Can you give us an idea of what detractors are saying?
Sure. Well, I'll just start by saying that the proposal is still evolving, as it were. So there are a few different drafts that he's put out there that have different sort of frameworks for these tiers. But essentially, if you think about alcohol, you think about the brewer, the distributor,
right,
and then the store. So essentially a middleman that moves the product from one area into a place where consumers can buy it. So that's sort of what Calton is getting after. But he does have a couple other tiers that he's looking at. For instance, a testing tier. So, that there would be a license from the state for testing centers specifically to make sure there's no harmful materials in the marijuana, to also see how much THC is actually in it. I mean, when you're talking about patients, ideally they want a set dosage, but that's not really easy to do sometimes with marijuana, especially in the smokable form. One other tier that Calton is discussing is a processor, which would be a company that actually makes the edible products and things of that nature, turns the plant into a food product or an oil or something like that that could be consumed. So Yeah, essentially, it's an attempt to go towards an alcohol-like model that sort of breaks up the system so that one company isn't doing every one thing in that supply chain.
Mm-hmm. MLive's Jonathan Osting, who covers the state capitol for MLive, is our guest here today on WKAR's Current State, and we're addressing the various proposals out there involving marijuana in Michigan. Alongside these discussions in the legislature are the ballot efforts aimed at legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes. How many groups are conducting ballot drives?
Well, there's two that are actively out in the field right now. They've had petitions certified as to form by the Board of State Canvassers, meaning they're not going to be challenged for their font size or something like that, something like that later down the line. So there's two groups. One is called, it's a very long name, but their abbreviation is MI Legalize. This is an activist-led group primarily.
It's Jeff Hanks' group.
Jeff Hanks'
group. The East Lansing attorney.
Yeah. Yep, he's leading it, but it's got a number of other activists who have led decriminalization or legalization efforts at the local level around the state, which of course Jeff Hank has done here. The second group is called the Michigan Cannabis Coalition. We don't know a whole lot about that group right now. The spokesperson for it is Matt Marsden, who's a former staffer for Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville and other Republicans in the state legislature. But he hasn't really said specifically who else is involved in that issue other than interested, business parties and things of that nature. So we don't know a ton about that group. Their proposals are similar in a lot of ways. Both of them are trying to legalize adult use and possession over the age of 21. The Cannabis Coalition goes about it in a little different way in that they want to give the state legislature the ability and flexibility to do things like set the tax rate, to decide how facilities would be licensed. The MI Legalize petition, on the other hand, spells that all out pretty clearly and doesn't really involve the legislature in that process.
There, just from my reading through this issue yesterday, the time that I spent on it, which was significant, there appears to be a broader dynamic in play here between bigger, more corporate, for lack of a better word, more established growers and companies, established companies, and a more organic, if you will, localized, more activist-driven approach. Is that dynamic kind of in play across the board here? Do you see that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said, we have to see who is actually funding the Michigan Cannabis Coalition before we know a ton about it. But from the MI Legalized perspective, that was their whole impetus for starting the petition drive. They weren't planning on doing this, but they heard that business groups were going to do it, and they didn't want business groups to dictate what marijuana legalization would look like. MI Legalized, of course, is people who have been working on this for years and think, you know, that they have an answer that would be better for consumers and for patients already in the medical system. There is a third group out there, maybe even a fourth, but we know there's a third called the Michigan Responsibility Council. And this is another group that really will be interesting to watch. It involves Paul Welday, who's a really prominent Oakland County Republican. The word is that they're going to be well-financed if and when they do decide to pursue a ballot proposal. They haven't finalized plans yet, but they're openly discussing them.
Well, funding for these efforts is critical. You wrote about this yesterday. Are some really much better financed than others?
Well, it's pretty early. Both groups have only really been active for, you know, a month or more. But neither of them are pulling in huge amounts of money. So just by comparison, there's an effort right now to repeal the state's prevailing wage law. Business groups put almost $1 million into that already in a matter of months. Now, both of these marijuana groups have gotten somewhere in the neighborhood of $225,000 for one group and $170,000 for another group, they say. They're starting out small. The fundraising is important for a couple reasons at this stage. One, you probably have to pay people to gather signatures. It's a big business to try and get something on the ballot these days. Two, they're both trying to show other would-be investors that they have a legitimate organization and campaign on their hands. Michigan is one of a number of states that might have marijuana legalization on the ballot in 2016. So there's going to be a lot of play for national money trying to get some of that to come in here to help the process along in Michigan.
Interesting. You and a bunch of other Capitol reporters got to climb to the roof of the Capitol building yesterday to view the renovation work on the dome. What was that like?
It was really, really awesome. It's actually the second time I've been up there during this process. I was fortunate enough to go up there just with a photographer and do sort of a small tour. Yesterday was a whole, whole cadre of Capitol reporters and others from around the state. It's pretty fantastic to see. I'm a student of history, and I think the Capitol building is amazing in its own right. It's 136 years old now, I think, designed by Elijah J. Myers. I actually was in Colorado the other week and saw the Capitol he did there, which has a lot of similarities. So it's special, and the project is appears to be coming along pretty well. It's a $6.5 million project to restore the dome, but also clean up some of the sandstone around the building and things of that nature. And the main goal is to try and prevent leaks, but they're doing it in a really historically accurate fashion to try and preserve the history of the building.
We're just about out of time, but I have to ask you what you're hearing at the Capitol about all the presidential candidates. Are any patterns emerging at all, either among Democrats or Republicans?
Yeah, well, I'm not hearing a ton right now because, of course, the legislature is not in session. As far as on the Democratic side, a few state lawmakers did go to Hillary Clinton's fundraiser in Grosse Pointe the other week. We haven't really seen any prominent state Democrats come out for Bernie Sanders yet, which would be really interesting. There's a real grassroots movement here forming, but it doesn't seem to really have any big figureheads at this point. On the Republican side, a few lawmakers have come out to support one candidate or another. Patrick Kolbeck, very conservative lawmaker, is endorsing Ted Cruz. We have Rick Jones, when Scott Walker was in town a couple months ago, endorsed him on the spot. So that happened. But I think with the field being so large right now on the Republican side, a lot of people are still taking that wait-and-see approach to see how things shake out.
It's going to take a long time, but it is such an interesting landscape here to see so many candidates.
Absolutely.
And the Democrats themselves are up to five now, if I'm not mistaken, maybe even six.
Yep.
So there we go. Jonathan Osting, great to see you. Jonathan reports from the state capitol for MLive. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.